you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Wednesday, September 6th, 2017. And surprise, 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 a special guest joining Pastor Jason Schiffo and I in the studio. Maybe you want to do a little introduction to this fine, sweet lady that's joining us?
I don't even know who she is.
Doghouse.
Who is she? Who are you?
I am your lovely wife.
That is true. You are my lovely wife. Well, this is my wife of a long time.
Your favorite wife.
My favorite wife that I've had for a little while.
Marital counseling will be administered quickly after this broadcast today.
Oh, my word.
And we also
tell us a little bit about yourself.
I think you've told them everything they need to know, haven't you? Surely you've left no stone unturned by now.
Oh, there are still stones. This next week, you're going to begin Bible Study Fellowship, aren't you?
I am. Can't wait.
So tell us a little bit about what you do in Bible Study Fellowship, and tell us a little bit about what Bible Study Fellowship is doing this year. And tell us where the ladies are meeting. So if there's any women maybe who are listening right now and are thinking, you know, hey, I would really like to get into a Bible study, give them the 411 on what this, or, yeah, 411. It's a 411,
911?
Right? No, 911 is an emergency. 411 is information, right?
Hey, this is great. I saw by Tasha's facial expressions, you're pulling a Mark Burns. You layered like about six questions all into one. She was like, that's what I do all the time. It's like, hey, that's what I do to everyone.
So, yeah, tell us about Bible Study Fellowship.
Okay, so your first question was, where do we meet? And that's at First Christian Church on the south side of Champaign.
Yep.
We start Tuesday morning at 9:10.
So is that Tuesday, September 12th?
Yes.
Okay, so this coming Tuesday.
So even if you're not registered, it's a welcome day, and anybody can come and find out what it's all about. What it is all about is that it's a Bible study that is ecumenical, which means that anyone can come. We're studying the book of Romans this year, so we'll start at the beginning and we'll work all the way to the end. And it's a discussion group that you'll have with about 12 other ladies. And then there's a lecture, and then there is commentary that you read on your own. And, of course, your own time in the Bible.
And I think, was it the last time Tasha was in here that we were talking about Bible Study Fellowship? And I think there was like 300, 350 women.
Yeah, how many are this year, do you know?
I heard about 350 women and about 100 children.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's fun.
And so you're going to be working with the children, aren't you?
I am.
So tell me, what is the difference? Now, I understand because I take the kids to Bible Study Fellowship on Monday nights for the men that meets at First Baptist Church in Savoy. It starts at 6:30. And that's going to start this next week also. But when we do it with the men, what we do is we have a discussion group time where we get around and we discuss the lesson. And it's just really time to share your own thoughts and reflections, meditations on the passage or running chapters that you study for the last week. And then we go in and there's kind of a lecture where the teaching leader shares his thoughts and gleaning some of the big points you need to take away from the passage. How does that differ from the children's program that you're doing in?
I would say the biggest difference is the age groups that come with the parents or any registering adult, really. The women on Tuesday morning can bring children up to kindergarten. So we have the little tiny babies all the way up to kindergarten, and we're teaching them. It's not just...
Yeah, so how are you teaching them? How is that different? Because obviously you're not getting them around in the circle and talking about the Bible and politics.
No, we're not talking about politics, but we are talking about the Bible, and we do sit in a circle, actually.
Yeah. So but how do you do it? Like, so, okay, how do you take a passage in Romans, something, you know, because Romans is meaty. Romans is like the prime rib of the Bible. And so how do you get that so that a child can eat that? Because when you serve prime rib to an adult, you can cut it into, you know, sizable chunks. But for a child, you'd have to cut it into smaller chunks.
Well, we do cut it into smaller chunks, but it is still the same meat. It's still prime rib. It's still God's true word. So
can you just say what it's like living with her? She is so sharp.
That excellent training.
It is that excellent training that you've provided me.
So like with Romans chapter 1, is there some vocabulary words? How can you break it down so it's simple enough for them to take away something?
Well, there's always one main truth that we share with the children, and that's, and the main truth is what the infants hear is the same thing as what the 4 and 5-year-olds would hear. It's the same main truth. And quite frankly, sometimes I look at the lesson and think, I needed it at this level too for me. It's not so simple that it, you know, a child can't understand. It's presented in a way that is truth. It's main truth.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, you know what? I only want to teach adults because I only want to have adult conversations. I don't want to teach kids. Teaching kids is hard. Teaching kids is frustrating. But would you think that, or would you agree that teaching kids actually helps you relate Bible to adults? Because I've seen you grow in incredible ways over the last, you know, year or so that you've been teaching kids, because I've seen you have to wrestle a difficult truth that you could convey to an adult in an adult way to a means where you can give it to a child.
Sure. Well, I think the biggest struggle, obviously, is sin. We all sin, and so, you know, children struggle with sin just as much as an adult. So you can present God's word in such a way that everyone understands that we're all sinners. And there's no difference at Bible Study Fellowship. We're still teaching God's word.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, say I'm a mother, but I don't have children. And we're talking a lot about the children, but this is something for women. Is there an age bracket? I know there are senior saints that enjoy it thoroughly. What's the younger end?
A college student. We would love to have the university students come. They're very welcome. We do have some students that come, and they just hop into a group with anybody. There's moms, students, grandmas, single ladies, married ladies, there's all kinds of people that are there. And we're all sharing God's word together.
Now, say I'm a little intimidated. Gosh, I've never been in a Bible study. I've never, in fact, read through the whole Bible. Is this something?
And then they let you run this radio station?
Yeah. You question because I don't drink coffee if I'm even saved. But would they feel at ease coming with people that maybe know their Bible well?
I would say, sure, they should feel welcome. I think that people love the challenge of talking about the Bible in a way that is helpful and useful. And that's what we want everyone to understand, is that the Bible is useful for everyday circumstances. And so if you don't ask questions, then how will you learn? And there are people that can answer your questions, and there are people who are going to say, I was too bashful to ask that question, but I'm sure glad you did because I didn't understand it, and I've read this book over and over again.
Yeah, I think sometimes that happens a lot where the discomfort level is not necessarily needs to be owned by the group, but it needs to be owned by the individual. Because when you come into a situation like this, for a lot of people, there's a sense of shame or guilt that I don't know the Bible enough, or I can't be in this group because I don't know the Bible, and don't you know, I'll just ask dumb questions. And one of the hallmarks, at least that I experience in men's BSF, is a sense of grace. I mean, where everybody affords everybody grace. There's people in all different, I mean, in the groups that I was in, I mean, I'm a pastor and, you know, trained in the Bible. And then there were people who were in the room who had only started reading the Bible for the first time in that year at BSF and saying some profound things that I needed to hear. And so, you know, the idea of iron sharpening iron is not that one iron is more pure or more powerful than the other iron. It's that both irons equally need sharpening. Some iron may have been in more battles or more fights at this point, but all iron needs sharpening. And sometimes the best sharpening comes from people who don't know the Bible well enough, you know, to whatever standard we would say, because those people will say things that we might not say.
Yeah, and they come from a different frame of mind or
different
life experience.
Well, and how about this? Some of us just have known the Lord long enough that we've forgotten the joy of what it means to be a new believer, what it means to be somebody who has just found Jesus Christ, can't get over it, and say things that maybe later on we would go, oh, I wouldn't say it that way. You did say it that way back when you first got saved and you didn't know what to say. All you knew how to say is, I love Jesus so much, and then said a lot of crazy things. And you know what? That's okay, and it's great to hear those things. And sometimes it's refreshing to hear that too. Yeah.
And so for somebody just tuning in now, in case you're wondering, this new voice joining us on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, it's the First Lady, Tasha Schiffo, married to Jason, let's see, 13, 14
Almost
years?
13 years
right
this
in
year.
There.
Wow. I heard it's a life sentence.
Yes.
Getting to those teen years.
And Tasha's
in. Oh, we're in our teens? Yeah. Our relationship is just about ready to
launch into greater and bigger and better times.
Yeah.
So you would encourage any woman that's tuned in to help spread the word out? And what would they do to register or to just find out more? Show up this coming week?
I would say on Tuesday, just show up.
Okay. And that's the First Christian Church in the southwest end of Champaign. Is that, what's that road? Staley Road?
Curtis Road.
Curtis Road. So you can get on the interstate and get off on Curtis.
Yep.
Or from the Champaign-Urbana area, just head west. And it's open to all ladies. And what time would they show up?
Come at 9 o'clock. I think it starts at 9:10.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I like to tell people to get there at 9 o'clock. Just
and you know what? You need to do it. I wouldn't even just say, you know, the gentle invitation. But I would say to those people who are listening, whether you're a man or you're a woman, I would say that you need to get there. Because Paul says, I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but Paul says in Hebrews chapter 13 as his final greeting, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, and we'll say sisters, bear with my word of exhortation. He says, bear with this word I'm giving you. And why did he tell them to do that? Well, that's because they were struggling. Now, when I say the word struggling, everybody should amen, because we all struggle. We all have issues. We all have problems and things that we're trying to face. And all of us need a word of exhortation. And there's not a purer, more powerful, more uplifting word than the word the Lord has given us. And there's not going to be a more powerful exhortation to appeal to the struggle that you're in than to get around other people and learn God's word, to hear God's word spoken, to study God's word. And many of us, I mean, we could say, well, the book of Hebrews, you know, that was written to a church thousands of years ago. No, it was written to a bunch of people who are struggling with what it means to live for God in the middle of a culture that doesn't seem to want to live for God. Now, that sounds a whole lot like today. And so we need this word of exhortation, this word to lift us up. And not only to lift us up, but then to send us out to share this word. And so we need to be equipped to share this word. I mean, I don't know how you can share the Bible if you don't study the Bible. I don't know how you're going to be encouraged to share the Bible if you don't study the Bible and allow God's Spirit to work on you to send you out to share it. And so, you know, one of the most powerful things, we did our family devotional. We tied up the book of Hebrews last week, didn't we?
We did. That was great.
Thank you.
I was giving God the credit, but you can take some too.
I'm going to give you more of the credit because you're the one who usually wakes me up in the morning so we can do it. But one of the most powerful things in our devotional time that we did in our family worship as a family was the final verse. In verse 25 of chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews, the last thing Paul says to the Hebrews, he says, grace be with all of you. Now, a lot of us, we could just say that that's just a nice way to say goodbye. Grace be with all of you. But I don't think that's what Paul means. When Paul says grace be with all of you, he's thinking about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, that by faith you have been saved. It's not your own. It's the gift of God that you, no man, no woman might boast. When he says the grace be with all of you, he's saying the very saving presence and nature of God. He's saying the God who can raise Jesus from the dead is the same God that I'm saying goes with you and in the strength and power of his grace. And so I think that we need to remember that, because that's so important, because that's another reason why I say to people, you need to get in the Bible, because you need to be reminded that God goes with you, that God is with you, that God is for you, because so often you don't think any of those things are true. And if you don't think or you struggle with those things being true, then by gosh, you're in a long line of good company, because Moses stood at the burning bush and said, there's no way I can do any of the things that you want me to do, God. And God goes, okay, that I know you can't. Trust me, but I will be with you. 28 times he says it to Abraham. He says it to Samuel. He says it all the way through the Bible. Surely I will be with you. I will be with you. Finally, and kind of the crescendo being Jesus on the mountain with the disciples in Matthew 28, saying, surely I will be with you until the end of the age. Bookending this I will be with you statement with the word surely, which is strength and steadfastness in that, and then till the end of the age, meaning all time. Time governed by God's sensibilities, not our own. And so we need to get in the Word to be reminded that in all the places where we don't think we can do it, we don't think we have the ability, that's the point. You don't have the ability. None. And that's great. Moses' greatest moments came when he was not able to do it. David's greatest moments came when he couldn't do it. And yet in those moments, they relied and leaned into God's strength. And God's strength is what pulled them through. And so when Jesus says, "Surely I will be with you," in Matthew 28, we should go, "Thank you, Lord." And that's why I think that this church, I think that we can really infer a lot about the struggle within the church in the book of Hebrews by that last statement. Because Paul leaves them with this statement telling them that the strength of God is with them and for them. Because they don't believe it. They're struggling with it. And that's why I think you could tie that to what he says in chapter 2 and verse 1 of Hebrews, where he says, "Therefore you must pay much closer attention to what you've heard, lest you drift away." Because he's saying, you're drifting away, and grace is with you. You're moving away, and you're allowing every wind of doctrine to blow you from one side to the other, and grace is your steadfast rudder. And you, my friends, need to know that. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to know it unless you get into the book and begin to read it and begin to believe it. The stuff on the sides of coffee cups and T-shirts and the print that we have on the wall in our home, that's not enough. Those are the tchotchkes. What we need is, as Tosh said, the prime rib. We need the steak. We need to feast on God's word so that we can believe it, so that we can hide it in our hearts, so that when sin comes knocking, we can know without a doubt that is against us and God is for us.
So women, if you want to join Bible Study Fellowship, you can find out more this coming Tuesday, September 12th, at the First Christian Church in Southwest Champaign. Be there by 9 a.m. It begins at 9:10, and that's for anyone that just wants to find out more. It doesn't mean they have to commit to the next 12 weeks or so many months.
We start now, and we go all the way until May. And if you want more information on from the Internet, you can go to bsfinternational.org.
And then, Jason, the men's gathering begins this coming Monday night, the 11th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be at the First Baptist Church of Savoy, and it will be from 6:30 until 8 p.m., and that runs the same timetable. In fact, the men's and women's runs together, so when there are breaks at the same time. And your group, Tasha, you do all pre-K, right?
All pre-K.
All pre-K.
Pre-K.
Yep, and then the men's program does kindergarten through high school. And so there's a BSF program for everybody. And so when I go to BSF with the men, I take the kids with and they go. And I'm going to tell you what, it is invaluable, the car time on the way to and from where we can discuss the lesson together, because they've studied the exact same thing. Is it the same for you?
It is, absolutely.
You and Samuel kind of...
We do. We talk about what the verse was and what songs we sang and what we learned.
And you might hear Samuel in the background here. He's got his little Lego,
engine.
And some Lego. It was a creation at one point when he got here. It's been disassembled.
It's transformed.
It's transformed. He transforms things.
Now, Jason, I know for those that have tuned in for any period of time during the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, we've been talking a little bit about Romans, and you're very excited that that's the topic that Bible Study Fellowship will be launching in this next week. Why?
Well, number one, Romans is the second to the last book that Paul wrote. And so by the time Paul writes Romans, he's been a Christian for 30-odd years. And so Paul has had a lot of time to think about and to marinate and to really understand all that went into salvation, all that goes into following Jesus, all that it means to be saved. And so Paul comes to Romans and he writes, I think, one of his most complete thoughts. One of his most complete revelations. I mean, obviously this ultimately comes through the Holy Spirit. But Paul has an understanding at this point. And not only an understanding, but I think that he has a compassion for the Jewish people that we hear, you know, when you get into Romans 9, 10, 11, and 12, where he writes those poignant words that somehow some might be saved. That even though this is his most complete thought, there is still a part of him that doesn't understand the mystery of how the gospel works, doesn't understand how people get saved. He knows academically how they get saved, but there's some part of salvation that just blows his mind, continues even after 30 years. One of the things that when I read the layers of Paul, especially in Romans, I just appreciate his excitement for the gospel. Like he still believed in the later years of his life before his death in the same way and shape and with the same passion that he did in the earlier years when he wrote the first letters that he wrote that went out. So I think it's one of his most complete thoughts. I think that it is powerful. I also had the privilege of walking alongside and going through the book of Romans. I think we made it to chapter 8 with a group of guys over the summer. And so that was really great. It's kind of a primer for all of us before we went to BSF, because it is prime rib. And it is impossible, even in the amount of time that BSF lasts, to go through Romans completely, to get into all the nuances. So we walked slowly through it, and Tasha and I did it too over the summer. So we've been able to just kind of Romans. But I'm going to tell you what, Romans has really increased my awareness of salvation, increased my awareness of the grace of God, increased my awareness of the completeness of the Bible, because you know, Paul writing to Jewish believers at one point in Romans, he begins with kind of this is who Jesus is, and then the ends of the chapters are Old Testament Bible studies, where he goes, now let's talk about Adam, let's talk about Abraham, let's talk about Noah. And he does this specifically, so you come away from that thinking, okay, you know what? When Paul said to the Ephesian elders, I didn't hesitate to declare unto you the whole counsel of God, he's telling you the truth. Like, he believes the whole thing. He sees it together. He doesn't see it as Old Testament, New Testament. He sees it as one testament, a testimony to God's work, God's continuing work. And so I think that there's not anybody who can come to the book of Romans and read it and study it and not be renewed in their heart for their love and passion for Jesus Christ. Not to mention that you can go on the internet and Google, and some of the great names who have been integral in following God and helping us to follow God over the past couple hundred years were saved into the book of Romans. You know, they heard the book of Romans preached and they fell on their knees and they just declared that Jesus is Lord.
All right, listening friend, the gauntlet is being dropped. Next Monday for men, there's a Bible study fellowship at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy, right on North Prospect Avenue. It'll begin around 6:30. Get there a little early to find out more and to get registered and to be a part of it. It begins next Monday, the 11th. And then on Tuesday, ladies, September 12th, by 9 a.m., be sure to be at the First Christian Church, Curtis and Staley Road in the southwest end of Champaign. That's for ladies on Tuesday, men on Monday night. And the ladies on the 12th can have children K through, what's the ages for the children that could attend?
Infants through pre-K.
Infants through pre-K. And then all the other ones, K and beyond up to high school, can be with the men on the 11th. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, First Lady Tasha, and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.